Again, we want to thank each one that has come out tonight. And our prayer and our heart's desire is that God will touch your hearts tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you'll come to know Him as your Savior. There are those that would think that we have meetings to get, but you might become a member of this church, but no. God wants you to become a member of His family. Born again, born of God. Tonight I want to look at eternal issues. And we'll look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, if you were to time me in reading those three verses there, probably maybe 20 seconds it would take to have read them. And from the Word of God, there are so few words that we read, and yet there is so much that God has given us from these three verses. We as humans, we use a lot of words and really sometimes say very little. But we trust that you will hear the voice of God tonight. Because who wrote this? It was God who wrote it. And who was this written to? It was written to sinners. It is a letter from God to you and I, to sinners. What is the concern or the issues that God wants to speak about? And we've heard about it already, and is the issue of sin. We know that everyone sins, but God wants you to stop and think about this tonight. He wants to pull you up short. Sometimes a person can live in sin and kind of get comfortable with it. And his conscience are kind of eased because of the enemy, the Satan. And we carry on in sin not realizing or forgetting that one day we have to meet God. We have to do with God. So the issues that God wants to speak about tonight and bring before our minds tonight is you, your sins, your eternity, and your meeting with God. As we think of issues, I think each one of us here realize that there are issues in life and we can go back and think about them, issues that are pleasing. And sometimes we go back and think about them, but you know, they're only temporary. And then there are issues in life, and they're very disturbing. And often, even though we don't want to think about them, we often do. But again, they're temporary. But the issue of sin that God would bring before us tonight is eternal. And it's something that God wants us to think about and take care of in our life tonight. The issue of sin can set your course here in life and for eternity. We were just downtown today and visiting a man who sits there in his little room. And he at one time, his life was controlled by Satan and by sin. And it was taking him down and down and down, and finally God stopped him. And he's saved by the grace of God. So his life course was changed from the broad road that leadeth to destruction to the narrow road that leadeth to life. And today, he sits downtown inviting others in. He knows their life. He knows where they're going. He knows why they're going that way. And he wants to be able to share the word of God with them and trust that they will come to know Christ as their Savior. So as we think of the issue of sin, and as God would want to get your attention tonight, He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. We often use these terms, or these words, in two different ways. The one, sometimes urgent. Come now! Mom, dad wants to get the attention of their children. Perhaps warning, there's danger coming. And there's the urgent of come now. And then there is the other way we use it, and it's the reasonable. Come on now. It isn't all that bad. Come on. So let us look at the reasonable to begin with. Come on now. You need to get the sin problem taken care of. God in heaven, the Savior of the world, the judge of all the earth. It's amazing. He pleads with you tonight. And he says, come on now. I mean, we don't have to tell you tonight about the issues of sin. There's nothing new, I don't think, that we can tell you tonight. And God is saying, you've been privileged. You've been brought up in a Christian home. You've been brought up to know the gospel. Come on now. You have been putting this off for all these years. That's amazing. The one, and perhaps you don't think about it, but the one that you turn your back on, what you're saying is no to God. I don't have time for God. How many of us would try to reason with somebody that has spat on us and turned their back on us and made fun of us and laughed about us? How many of us would come and say, oh, come on now. No, we say, forget it. What we were hearing. God is a God of love. But he's also a God of tough love. And tonight he's saying to you, come on now, be reasonable. Think about this. Why should you be reasonable? Why should you reason about this? The Bible tells us that we were all born in sin. We were all born on the broad road. And every step you take takes you closer to eternity. No wonder God says, come on now. Here is the one who holds your breath in his hand. And every day, God's hand closes on one soul or another. Every day, God knows the individual whose breath will be taken, whose life will come to an end, and they pass out into eternity. Daniel reminded a king back in his days. He said to him, here is a God in whose hand your breath and all your ways are, and you have not honored him, but you have dishonored and you have disgraced him. And that God tonight is the one that comes to you and says, come on now. You know the truth of salvation. You know what lies ahead. Come on, be reasonable. God has opened the door of opportunity. You see, these gospel meetings take time, they take effort, they take a lot of money. But all those things are all worth it because it's invested into your soul. Here is your opportunity, and God has arranged for these meetings to be. You would hear the gospel again. And he would be able to come alongside you and say, come on now. Be reasonable. Why should you reason? He says, because your sins are red. Red is scarlet is the color that when you get it into your clothes, it doesn't come out. Red is the color that they use on the traffic lights. When they want you to stop and they want to get your attention and it glares in your eyes. And sin glares in the eyes of God. It doesn't glare in the eyes of men. Men have tried to bring sin down. Men says, if you do your sin and I can do mine and we'll all be happy. But God says, no. All sin is against God. And one day, we will have to stand before God and give an account of our sin. There is no effort that man or woman or boy or girl can do in order to have their sins forgiven. No sacrifices, no rites, no prayers, not baptism, nothing. It's interesting. God says your sins are red like crimson. And you know what will forgive your sins? The blood of Christ. The death of Christ on the cross. His blood cleanses from all sin. Come on now. Be reasonable. Why should you reason? Because your sins need to be forgiven. And perhaps you're arguing with God. I'm gonna get there my way and in my time. You perhaps feel that you've been made to come to the meetings. And perhaps you have. And that's the love of your mom and dad. You may not see that, but they love you. And they want you saved. And they want you in heaven. Come on now. But then there is the urgent call. It's a warning call. It's a danger call. And salvation is urgent. The judgment day is nearing. It's the urgent call. As I said, sometimes we hear it and the mother will call out. Call out your name. Come back. Maybe you're getting too close to the river when you're out camping. A mother will call. But you know, we have heard. We have heard how the mother or the dad would call, and the child just keeps going. And sometimes it's disaster. It is interesting. Being brought up on a farm, I have seen the old mother hen. And there in the springtime, she has her little chicks, and sometimes there could be 8 or 10 of them, and they're running all around. But when mother sees danger, she only has to give one cluck. And those chicks, as newborn chicks, they know the danger. And she just gives one warning, and they come. Her wings are up, and they come running to her. Her wings are down, and all you see is mom. And the chicks are all under cover. But it's interesting. The life of Christ on this earth, he called many times. And people would not come. But nature always responded. When the Lord said, waves, be still. They were still. When the Lord said to death, give up that boy. And that boy became alive again. Death surrendered to the voice of God. And yet, you and I, we are so stubborn. And God is saying tonight, come now. You don't know about tomorrow. God knows when his hand will close on our breath. He knows, but we don't know. And because he knows, he is urgent and you are coming. Why should you come? Because of shortness of life. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, for what is your life? Now living here where it gets a little colder, try to use this illustration in Hawaii and they can hardly understand it. But here, he said, what is your life? It is like the smoke that comes out of the chimney. And the smoke makes its way up. But pretty soon, it disappears and it's gone. It's like your breath in the wintertime. And you can see your breath, but pretty soon it's gone. And you may look, I don't feel I'm old, but you may look at me and say, well, you're old, you got along this long. But we don't know. God says, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth only for a little while and then disappear. Proverbs 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you knoweth not what the day may bring forth. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, tell us, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we would listen to God and we would pay attention. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 29 says this, oh, that you were wise, that you understood this, that you would consider your latter end, that you would think about your eternity. And I want to ask you tonight, Which road are you on? Are you on the narrow road that leadeth to life? Or are you on the broad road yet that leadeth to destruction? Come on now. Why should you come? Because of the shortness of time. Not only that your life may be taken, but you know the Lord is coming. Those of us that are saved, we look for His coming. We wait for the call of the Lord, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There He will come to the clouds. And as He calls, all of us that are saved, we will rise up. And if He were to call in this meeting tonight, that's another thing. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. One little girl, I understand, when the teacher asked, who knows when the Lord's coming? One little girl said, well, just go www. When is the Lord coming? But that wouldn't work. No. That's one thing www doesn't know. No. And you and I don't know. And the Lord says, come on now. For His coming is very close. So what are your options? Well, the Bible says that we have all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, separated from God for all eternity. What are your options? God says, you must be born again. If you're ever going to be in God's heaven, you need to be born again. Sins forgiven, and to know all is well. You know, God's message is always the same. It hasn't changed. Moses, way back in the days of Moses, here's what he said as he spoke to the children of Israel. He said, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both thou and thy seed, that you may live. God's word is never outdated. What it was in the days of Moses, it is today. Come on now. Listen. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That was in the day years ago. But tonight, it would be like this. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall have everlasting life. You will have your sins. It's better than having the good of the land. You'll have your sins forgiven. However, think of that if. And we put down, it's the eternal if. Because that if, tonight, you have two of them. If ye are willing and obedient, you will have eternal life. Sins forgiven. But if you refuse and rebel, no salvation, lost. And people say, how can a God of love send anybody to hell? He doesn't. It's if. The if is all dependent on you. God has done all the rest that He may offer you salvation tonight. And He says, come on now. Think about this. Think about your soul and about your eternity. If you are willing and obedient, salvation. If you refuse and rebel, no salvation. Just want to tell you of a great famous artist. I looked at some artwork tonight as I came into the auditorium tonight, and I was really impressed with the artwork that I saw in this book tonight. And this individual might end up like this G.F. Watts, a famous artist. And people knew that he was working on a special art. And, these guys, they do it in their room there and get it all done. And then the day comes when they rent a big hotel room and all the people, the artists and other ones that come want to see this great impressive piece of art. And it's up there on a board, but there's a cover over it. So you just kind of have to wait till you can see this big piece of art. Then finally everybody was there and the time came. And they introduced the artist. And the title to the piece of artwork was The Great Rejection. And so they pulled the cover off of the piece of art And all there was from the hips up was a person's back. And that's all you could see was the back of an individual. And he called it the great rejection. If you refuse. You see, you can walk out of this meeting tonight without saying a word. But really what you're doing is you're just turning your back to God and say, not for me. I'm not going to be reasonable tonight. I'm not going to do it tonight. And God knows your tomorrow, but you don't. Well, you come tonight.